Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, the question asked by millions of Americans on that beautiful Tuesday morning of September the 11th, 2001, was, where is God? As the news spread and we began to huddle around our television watching them horrific scenes, we watched as an airliner full of passengers flew headlong into the second tower, erupting in a fireball, and we ask, where is God? As the buildings burned unabated, we watched in horror as individuals chose to leap to their death rather than to be burned alive. And we asked, where is God? And one by one, as the World Trade Center collapsed, killing thousands of people under its weight, we wanted to know, where is God? Who among you hasn't asked that question when you face suffering in your own life? I ask because for my family, that date was a Friday. A beautiful Friday of August the 29th of 2003. A weekend that was to be an end of the summer camping trip with my sister and her family. It was going to be amazing. The kids can play together. I brought the motorcycles along to ride to the sand dunes. It was going to be an amazing weekend. The television was already set up to watch Nebraska play Oklahoma State. It was going to be an awesome weekend. But for us, those plans abruptly changed when our 7-year-old daughter drowned in a pond as she played with her cousins and her brother and her sister. On that day when I retrieved her lifeless body from that murky water, the question I ask is, where is God? No doubt each one of you has wrestled with that same question in your life. Whether it's an untimely death of a loved one, or perhaps for you it's an unfavorable diagnosis from your physician. Or maybe you've experienced some kind of unexpected financial hardship, or a broken relationship. Or you name the malady in your own life where you've really struggled. And you wanted to cry out, where is God? God, I want to know, where are you? But the reality is we shouldn't be surprised. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when the wolf comes, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, if or perhaps the wolf will come. He says, when the wolf comes, when this suffering, when this evil comes into your life, it's going to happen. In fact, in 1 Peter we read, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange is happening to you. Dear friends, if you haven't got to that place in your life where you face that major catastrophe, where you've asked the question, where is God? Someday, the occasion will arise. Where is God? You know, we're assured in this morning's epistle lesson from the book of Hebrews that our God is in our midst, that our God is present. The writer says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, the words of God to you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Now, mind you, there'll be weeks in your life where it's more difficult to hold on to that than others. But He is indeed our Creator God, whose providential care is always present in your life. Never doubt that. And yet there are times in our lives when that just doesn't seem like enough. When you pass through those exceedingly dark valleys in your life, when you're faced with a challenge or an obstacle or a malady that seems unbearable and unsurmountable, when you ask the question, where is God? We want something more than just some vague, unseen entity in our lives. We want the presence of God visible. Many of you know that before I married my wife Julia, I was a very good Baptist boy. In fact, I'd answered the altar call and had come forward before the congregation and declared to them that I had found Jesus. I was prepared to make my confession of faith in that little Baptist church in Chadron, Nebraska. Shortly thereafter, I walked up those baptistry stairs and I plunged headlong, well, not headlong, but I waded into that water, and Pastor Bellacone dumped me under 3 times in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as I had that believer's baptism. And I made my great confession of being a disciple of Christ, and I was a proud Baptist. And I did not have much room for Lutheranism. Truth be told, when I met my wife and I attended the Lutheran church, my impression of Lutherans were simply just watered-down Catholics. In fact, it offended me when Pastor Real stood before Trinity Lutheran Church in Grand Island and declared, "As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins." And I snickered, thinking to myself, "Who's he think he is, God?" I even chided my wife and said, "Only Jesus can forgive me." And let's not even get started on Lutherans' understanding of the Lord's Supper at that time, because as a Baptist, communion was simply a remembrance meal with Jesus. No forgiveness, and certainly no strengthening of faith. See, the challenge as a Baptist was, when trials and tribulations came, where and what did you cling to? Where was God in the midst of all of that? For me, it was always just clinging to the fact that God was sovereign. That God was in charge. I just had to step back and let God be God and simply trust Him where I go. But there was no place to find comfort aside from God's Word. But I wanted something more. For you see, as we confess in the Lutheran Church in the face of suffering, that God is found first in the promise in the garden, where God promises that He will crush the head of the serpent and His heel will be bruised for you and for me. See, God is found in the words of Jesus to Philip, where He says, "I've been with you so long. Don't you understand that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father?" You want to know where God is? He is right here. Where is God in the face of our suffering? He is seen in the face of the one hanging upon a cross, whose face is contorted, who's in pain and in agony and tears as He suffers on behalf of you and me. And as the sins of the world is laid upon Him, you and I have been set free. That is where your God is to be found. Your God is to be found 3 days later as He comes out of the tomb, no longer dead, but alive. And when He ascends into heaven and takes His rightful place at the right hand of God, where is God in the face of your suffering? It's found in Jesus. In that place of death in that place of weakness, in that place of suffering, Jesus Christ not only brings forgiveness, but He brings acceptance and He brings life. You want to know why I'm a Lutheran today? It had more to do than with my wife, Julie. It had everything to do with what we confess and believe as Christians. You know, a professor once said, you know, what makes Lutheranism distinctly different isn't our distinction between law and gospel, because, dear friends, there is a lot of churches within the world, Christian churches, that preach great sermons of law and gospel. That doesn't make us unique. What sets us apart is our doctrine of the means of grace. When you want to know where God is, we look for Him in His Word and in His sacraments. You want to see where Jesus reigns today? It's in the voice of your pastor, as he in the place of Pastor Real of years ago. I stand in the same spot representing Christ, announcing that your sins are forgiven, and it's His voice you should hear. It's in the water of your baptism. As that water is poured and the name of God is invoked, you have become a child of God. Your sins have been washed away. And by that water, God gives you daily strength to face the challenges of the world in which you live. And Jesus is found under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, where you partake of His very flesh and His very blood for you. Where is God? Where is God in the face of suffering in our daily lives? It is the same Jesus, the one of love and forgiveness and acceptance and life, that comes to you in God's precious Word and His blessed sacraments to strengthen you, to pick you up, to forgive you, that you may have life and have it to the full. Dear friends, praise be to Jesus that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear friends, the day will come when Christ will return in all of His glory. And He will bring evil, death, suffering, and sorrow to an end forever. And He will take those who belong to Him into their eternal rest with Him. That is our confession as Lutheran Christians. And where our God is to be found in the face of suffering, it's in that confession that we have the courage to make that He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our only source of help. Dear friends, as you face the challenges of your daily life, as you come to those obstacles and roadblocks and those suffering times in your life where you want to cry out, where is God? Find Him where He says He can be found. In His promise, in His Word, His body and blood, His water and Word, and those sweet words of holy absolution. Because in the end, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.